You're listening to Girls Gone Wild. This is episode 23B. There's no Claire tonight on this episode. This is just a bonus episode where we had a special guest coming through town, and unfortunately Claire couldn't make the schedule. So she was doing her level one, so she was doing something very badass, but we really wanted to get Sarah on the show, and you'll see why after you hear her interview. So I hope you guys enjoy. This is the interview where I'm going to sit with Miss Sarah Evans, and we're going to talk about CrossFit and just how she is an all-around inspiration, especially in the CrossFit world. So Sarah Evans is a captain in the United States Air Force. She's 28 years old, and she's currently living in San Antonio. Say hello, Sarah.
Hi.
Sarah, tell us your story, wherever you want to start.
So I've only been in San Antonio for a couple years now, and I found my way there after a deployment to Afghanistan. So I'm originally from Florida and joined the military. I went to school in South Carolina, got my first assignment in Montana. And in October of 2011, I deployed to Afghanistan for what was supposed to be a year deployment. But in January, after experiencing some hip pain, I went to Bagram to get it checked out and was diagnosed with stage 3 bone cancer. And so I got out of there pretty quick. They sent me down to San Antonio to Brooke Army Medical Center, because they had a specialist there that was going to see me. And so that's how I wound up in Texas. Mm-hmm. And I've been there for about 2 years now. I started some pretty intensive chemotherapy and radiation. And I was in the hospital in and out for about a year. And back in April of 2012 now, my surgeon and I decided to go ahead and amputate the left leg because the tumor and the cancer originated in my left hip. And just for the best chances of long-term survival, it was just the best idea to go ahead and amputate and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. So they could get good, healthy margins on the tumor, and I could go on and continue living my life and have a really good prognosis. So we did that, and I haven't really looked back since, because mm-hmm. I've been cancer-free since then. Mm-hmm. And still not completely out of the woods. We're still going to monitor, but I've got a really good prognosis, and that was 18 months ago now, and
that was just 18 months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been great though, because I've been able to, you know, continue living my life, and I'm done with all of that now. I've finished my physical therapy, and now, so I'm just kind of waiting, for the process of medically retiring from the military, and then we'll move on and mm-hmm. find something else to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then just let me back up a little bit too, because how I met Sarah was through one of my friends at CCI. And as you guys know, I went through the 2 week training to get an assistance dog, a facility dog for my work, and met a bunch of really amazing, inspiring people that changed my life forever. And one in particular, Yancey, I don't know if he listens to this. He knows that I do this podcast, but that's how he reached out to Sarah, was that, you know, he knows what a badass CrossFitter that she is, and, said, hey, you guys should talk. And then Sarah serendipitously was passing through Denver around Thanksgiving. So it was just kind of like this nice, meant to be moment that she could be on this podcast. So I'm really glad you're here. So just talk a little bit about CrossFit. How did you get into CrossFit?
Oh, I love CrossFit. I'm totally sucked into it.
And by the way, we were talking about Facebook stalking earlier, and I totally Facebook stalked her, and the pictures of you is like, oh my gosh. It's amazing. It's so amazing.
Thanks.
Yeah.
There's a lot of bloopers too that I didn't post. Oh, I'm not so pretty movements, but yeah. No, it's a lot of fun. And so I've been doing CrossFit at Alamo CrossFit in San Antonio for about 4 months now. About 4 months ago, I finished physical therapy. I had done pretty much everything I could on that level. Was living, you know, pretty independent lifestyle, was getting around fine, had my prosthetic, you know, had a way to get around. And really was just looking for something to fill my time and also to stay in shape and maybe take it to another level. Mm-hmm. I've always been pretty active.
I was going to say, you've always been had an active lifestyle just in general.
Yeah. I've always been outdoorsy. I've always been, you know, fit.
Yeah.
And I've always enjoyed that kind of lifestyle. And, you know, I can't run anymore now.
Yeah.
I'm missing a leg. And we tried a running leg. And since my amputation is so high up, that wasn't an option, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I tried cycling. I tried swimming. And those were fun. And it was a way to get out. But it really just wasn't enough. I wasn't getting, you know, that feeling out of a hard workout anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't really seeing results from it because I couldn't push myself. And I was starting to feel not fit, and a lot of it had to do with a lot of the medication I was on too, and I started gaining weight, and you know, I've never really felt self-conscious about losing a limb because I had to do that to, you know, continue living.
Yeah.
So that was okay. But I did start to feel self-conscious about, you know, gaining weight and just feeling like a couch potato.
Yeah.
And not feeling strong. And so I was a little, you know, upset about that. And I met a bunch of guys that had gone through physical therapy at the same center before me. And they were in just incredible shape. Mm-hmm. And I was really just curious as to how they were doing it. You know, bilateral amputees, guys that were worse off than me. And I knew a lot of them had done CrossFit, and they were going to this one gym that was able, you know, that was really reaching out to us to adapt and show us ways to, that we could still do CrossFit, even with our limitations and even with our disabilities, and still get a really good workout out of it. And so I went, and I thought, why not?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try it out because I'm, you know, I'm pretty open to trying anything new.
Mm-hmm.
Thought it, you know, I would find it to be okay, but I absolutely loved it. It was, you know, after my first workout, I think I hid in the bathroom that first day because I thought, you know, what have I got myself into?
You hid in the bathroom?
I did. I told my coach, I was like, I'm going to go get some water. And I went straight to the bathroom and sat down. And I was like, oh, crap.
Why? Why? What's going through?
Well, I felt like I was going to pass out, like, lifts.
Okay.
I was exerting myself in a way that I had not been able to do in almost 2 years.
Yeah.
I had not had that feeling.
Yeah.
And being able to do a workout and feel like I need to puke at the end, I missed that.
I can tell, like, you get, like, I can tell you're, like, getting emotional thinking about it.
Yeah.
Just how, like, it truly means a lot to you to feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's very few people that really live and thrive off of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely filled empty gap.
So do you remember the first workout that you did?
Well, Alamo does this fundamentals course where you go through a week of
basics. Our gym, our box does that too.
It's
like a beginner intro.
One of the coaches, Rebecca, had me doing some of the Olympic lifting, so we had just a PVC pipe and we were, you know, talking about cleans and you know, jerks and snatches and the different types of stuff like that. And I think we were doing like squats. And so any squat for me is a pistol squat. And so it was just all pistol squats.
Right.
And, you know, I thought I was pretty strong. I mean, I really worked hard in physical therapy. And I had, you know, hadn't just been laying in bed the entire time. I had been getting out there and doing stuff. But it really just, it was different.
Yeah.
I mean, my heart rate was high and I started to sweat. And I just, I didn't, I guess going in, looking at the PVC pipe, thinking, this is going to be, you know, they're not going to challenge me, but it was so challenging.
Yeah.
I think I got a little lightheaded and probably was dehydrated.
Yeah.
Was not expecting that first day to be like that, but.
Right.
And then I was really sore afterwards too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It got better and better and I really liked it, so I kept going back.
So you kept going.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you, what was the first workout you said? You don't remember. It was like kind of like a mixture of
things. Yeah, 101 for Olympic lifting.
Yeah.
And then I think the next day we did the gymnastics type stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But you left feeling like, all right, here we go.
Uh-huh.
This is it. It's on.
Yeah.
Did you have like this renewed something in you where like, I feel like just talking to you, like the fire was lit?
Yeah. I think that might have come a little later, actually, maybe a few weeks into it when I started feeling more comfortable in the gym and started making friends there and started seeing results pretty quickly, like on the scale and the mirror and my strength, just feeling good. I think that's when it really renewed it. And then I dragged my husband in there. It's like, you're doing this with me because I think I'm going to spend a lot of time here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And it was something we were able to do together.
Yeah.
So that was really exciting.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I just love the atmosphere there.
Yeah.
And the people there.
People are amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why a lot of people love CrossFit too, is the community. And you just feel like you have something, you're accountable to people, and you also have feel like your family, the people that you
absolutely
at your gym is like their family.
Yeah.
Okay, so you did CrossFit and you started. And so since then, I know you've done competitions and I know you've done I don't know if it's like games here and there. I remember there is it like a Warrior Games or something?
Mm-hmm.
Red, white, and something.
Yeah. Well, within
I read that somewhere.
Yeah, within CrossFit, we did one small little competition, not the series. But through the Air Force, I've been able to do a lot of adaptive sports. Mm-hmm. So I've tried pretty much everything out there. I've tried sled hockey. I do the hand cycling. I do the swimming, like I said. But there's this big event every year called the Warrior Games, and it's joint service.
Hold on. JT. JT wants to say hi to her.
Hi.
JT. Are you okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hi there.
If he's getting distracted, I can put him back down. Okay. That's a good boy.
Yeah, so it's this big event held in Colorado Springs at the Air Force Academy, and there's an Air Force team, there's a SOCOM team, Army, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard. Everyone brings that team, and it's all wounded, injured, or ill servicemen, both active duty and retired. Everyone brings a team, there's competitions, and it's kind of Paralympic style.
Yeah, and did you have to enter, like, apply to be in it, or is it just anyone can enter?
No, there is an application, okay. And then there's a trials.
Gotcha.
So I went and basically tried out.
Yeah.
And when I went to go try out, I met the coaches, and on my initial application, I said that I had, you know, tried swimming, I tried cycling, so, and I had shot rifle in college, so those were the ones I was interested in. And they put me down for all those events, and they also put me down for track and field.
For everything?
For everything.
Yeah.
And I walked up to the coaches, I was like, you have me down for track and field. I don't run, and I don't know what field is. I don't know what shot put is. I don't know what discus is, so I'm not going to go to these. And they said, no, you're going to go to these. You're going to try it out. We can... There's ways to adapt. There's ways to get anybody to be able to do any event.
Yeah.
So it's pretty incredible. So,
which I saw a photo on your Facebook where you were doing the shot put.
Yeah. I still really don't know what I'm doing there.
But it looks awesome.
Yeah.
You looked good.
So I do seated shot put. They have these special chairs. Mm-hmm. There's Paralympic standards for them, and there's different categories. So, like, there's categories for guys with spinal cord injuries, mm-hmm. For lower limb amputations, for upper limb amputations, or, like limb salvage too, and traumatic brain injuries, PTSD. They really cater to anybody that's been wounded or have been injured or had some kind of serious illness. Mm-hmm. A lot of the girls that competed with me had breast cancer. So mm-hmm. outwardly they look physically fine. They're able-bodied, but they have been recovering, and this is part of the recovery process, is to bring them into the adaptive sports community mm-hmm. and show them how sports can better their lives. Mm-hmm. So it's really incredible to be a part of and see all these people just really grow, and that's, you know, another family there too, because I've seen, you know, in the past couple of years working with these guys, I've seen them make huge progress and, you know, change their lives and become healthy and just enjoy competition and enjoy sports. Mm-hmm. And so that's really amazing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so they had me compete in all five events too. It was kind of a pentathlon type event. Mm-hmm. Each team gets to choose two members to compete for Ultimate Champion. So I was very honored for them to pick me.
That's amazing.
To do that in my first year competing. I did fairly well for, you know, a girl, and for it being my first year and being brand new to a racing wheelchair.
Yeah.
And being brand new to shot put. And so I did well. I medaled in swimming, so that was exciting.
That's amazing too.
Yeah. And then my male counterpart on the Air Force team won the Ultimate Champion, which is the first time the Air Force has won it. It's always been the Marine Corps, so that was nice too.
You go, girl. Yeah. That's amazing. I know, those Marines, dang it. My brother's a Marine. I know how it goes. Yeah. let's talk a little bit about Transition Possible, because I know that's an organization near and dear to your heart. It's transitionpossible.org. And talk about how you are involved with them.
So they are actually the reason that myself and a lot of the other Wounded Warriors in San Antonio are able to get into a CrossFit gym. They're a nonprofit, and they do a lot of things, but one of the things they do is they pay for scholarships to some of the CrossFit gyms there, and it's under this program called Transition Brigade, and they're just kind of getting their feet wet in it. And there's another gym in San Antonio that's just started to accept the scholarships, called Command CrossFit. So we've got a couple of the amputees going there now too.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, they're definitely looking to expand and reach out to other gyms and, you know, get them on board to, you know, give us this opportunity. And I've, mm-hmm. you know, I work out with some amazing guys.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are combat injured. I work out with bilateral amputees, guys that are in wheelchairs, one that's a triple amputee, and it's really cool that we all motivate each other, and, you know, the other mm-hmm. guys at the gym motivate us and push us, and, mm-hmm. you know, they don't look at us like we're disabled or, mm-hmm. you know, like, why are you here? They mm-hmm. they really, you know, they're really supportive, and it's really incredible to
mm-hmm.
see.
Mm-hmm.
So
they inspire you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very clear. We both talked about how we cry a lot, so we're getting teary-eyed,
yeah.
And that's just, it's just so beautiful to see that it's CrossFit is so much more than just going to work out. And for you, it's the family, and it's for you, the inspiration, it's for you, the communities and the organization that it's tied to, especially Transition Possible and making that possible for so many people. So what else do you want to talk about? Because I know we really want to give some love to Transition Possible. Anything else you want to mention around that?
Another thing they're doing is, which I think is really cool, is they're putting together a bunch of video clips of all of us to share how we adapt some of the movements. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, I do everything a little differently, but mm-hmm. I adapt it in a way that I try to get it as closely to the RX as possible.
Yeah.
And so they've videotaped a few of us with our, you know, adaptions, and they're trying to put it online so that maybe other people, you know, across the world can see
that
and apply it in their box too.
Absolutely. That's such a good idea. Do you want to talk a little bit about your how you adapt some of the movements?
Yeah, I'm still working at a lot of them. I've got really good balance.
I see the picture of you doing a burpee, and it's just like, I don't know. I want you to, like, it's like, how do you have such amazing balance? Yancey was talking about how he like stood up one day and he's like, what did he say? He almost like fell out a window because the window was right. And he's like, sometimes I forget. He's like, I get up and I get out of bed before I put my leg on. He's like, I forgot that I don't have two legs. And he's like, I literally almost like fell out my window. And I was like, Yancey. He's like, my balance is so bad. Yeah, talk about your adaptation.
That's all thanks to my physical therapist. She made me do some crazy, like, I called them circus moves to make my balance really great. Because we knew that I probably wouldn't be in a prosthetic all the time. Mm-hmm. So I needed really good balance. And so thanks to her, I'm able to, you know, balance on the one leg pretty well. And so a lot of the stuff, I do standing. I crutch in. I use my forearm crutches to get in. Mm-hmm. I don't wear my prosthetic when I work out because it's pretty cumbersome. It comes up around my rib cage. It's kind of like a carbon fiber corset. Mm-hmm. So it's really great for walking.
Oh, yeah.
It's really great for grocery shopping. It's really great when I need to carry something. But working out and having a big range of motion, it's very, very limiting. So I use my crutches. I go to the gym that way. And so for a lot of the lifting, I balance. I make sure I have enough plates on there that I can throw the bar. So that's big motivation for me, is to have those rubber plates on there. So
yeah.
I push myself so that I have that option. Because if it's just the bar, I can't drop that.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
So that kind of drives me.
Yeah.
Some of the guys think I cheat a little bit with the pull-ups because I have a lot less body weight to get up there. So I'm able to do more pull-ups than I was able to do with two legs.
Yeah.
And I've got pretty good upper body strength just from
crutching. They give you crap about that?
Yeah. Well, one of the guys, he's a bilateral.
Yeah.
And so he can do pull-ups all day because mm-hmm. he's missing, you know, his whole lower half. So they make mm-hmm. him put a kettlebell on his lap.
Oh.
And he does pull-ups with a kettlebell on
there
his lap.
There you go.
So they haven't made me do anything like that yet.
Yeah.
Let's see. Rope climb was pretty difficult. I thought with rope climb, it would always just have to be a no-leg rope climb because I don't have, you know, the other leg to pinch the rope with.
Right.
But one of our coaches actually is a single-leg amputee, and he was just determined to get me up there.
Yeah, and I saw that picture too.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I got up, and I don't know how I'm getting down.
So we just played around with it for a while. We found out that if I just double wrap the rope around my leg, just kick really hard, that I could put pressure on it. And
yeah,
I got all the way up, and I was like, oh, man. I didn't think this was ever going to happen.
So how did you get down? Did you just, like...
The two times I was able to do it, I just kind of used a lot of upper body to get down. And the third time, I was starting to feel a little fatigued, and so I had Mike, our coach, grab me and help me down.
Yeah. So. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. Box jumps were pretty difficult.
Yeah.
I think that was mostly mental.
Mm-hmm.
But I do that, but I usually put the box in the rig so I can grab onto the rig in case
I
lose my balance.
It's
a lot of that.
Yeah. What's your favorite?
I don't know. I really like doing the skin the cat because I'm really good at it.
Oh,
it's not really super impressive either.
Yeah, it is.
But I don't know. I think I like lifting heavy stuff over my head just because mm-hmm. I feel like it's impressive. Yeah. I don't know.
It is impressive. Isn't there, I don't think there's a better feeling than like picking up something heavy and lifting it, especially as a woman.
Mm-hmm. And I love seeing the numbers go up.
Yeah.
Like, I love PRs.
Yeah.
PRs are incredible. Like, those feel amazing.
Yeah.
And so I've been able to, since I'm still fairly new, and it's not really, I've been trying to, you know, get down technique and how to do it without hurting myself.
Yeah.
And now that I'm starting to feel a little more comfortable with the movements, I'm starting to get PRs. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Going back, because I want to talk a little bit about, I know you're short on time. Sarah so nicely came out to do this interview right before she flies back to San Antonio. So we're doing a quick interview here. But how can gyms get involved with Transition Possible? Is it nationwide? Is it just in Texas right now? What's the...
Well, the headquarters is definitely in San Antonio.
Yeah.
But I think their ultimate goal is to reach out and expand. So I don't see why they wouldn't want to reach out to nationwide gyms.
Sure.
Transitionpossible.org, there's contact information there. They're nonprofit. We did a fundraiser WOD a few weeks ago where we raised, I think, $5,000. Mm-hmm. And we did a WOD, and that was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of information on their website. I think that would probably be the best place to start, is to go there.
Their website's great, and it even has ways to get involved, even if you're not a gym, so you can donate, you can sponsor a warrior. It just looks like a really, really great organization. So check them out, and they're also on Facebook. Okay, so moving on to, I guess, just overall, women in CrossFit. I think women... are intimidated by CrossFit, and Claire and I often talk about how women, and I've heard it even recently, say, I don't want to do CrossFit because I'll get bulky, or I'll get, like, how do you think CrossFit is empowering women these days?
I love the girls that I work out with. They are so strong, and it's so, like, I'm just so impressed with them. Mm-hmm. They're super motivating, and I love just the competition and the drive that they have. And I love going there and watching, like, because there's a couple of girls and our box are just incredibly strong. And I love seeing the guys kind of peek over at their plates and seeing, like, how much is she lifting? Oh, you better not beat me. And I love that. And they look gorgeous. Mm-hmm. They really do. They all do. And I love that, too. Like, that motivates me to keep going, because there's not a single one of them there that I've been going for a while that look out of shape. They just look healthy. They look strong. Mm-hmm. They're amazing.
Yeah.
They're beautiful. Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. I think it's kind of funny, though, that, you know, that still exists, that, you know, I don't want to look bulky. And Claire and I always talk about that. It's just women are so strong these days that it's so impressive to see that what we're capable of doing. So a lot of women listen to this podcast that haven't tried CrossFit. And I think the biggest compliment, and I think Claire would agree with me on this, the biggest compliment is that people will listen to our podcast and then they'll go try CrossFit because they listen to our podcast. Mm-hmm. So what advice would you give to people who are listening who haven't tried it yet?
Oh, definitely don't discredit it until you try it. And a lot of the gyms, you know, have the free trial classes. So, I mean, you really don't have an excuse not to.
Yeah.
And, I mean, anybody can do it. You can scale down. I can scale down, and I started and barely had any weight and was just going through the movements. And it's definitely something that you progress in and you can get better at. You can feel good about yourself. And I have a friend who has 6 kids, and she's been CrossFitting. She's pretty new to it too. I think she started about a month before, and she's just amazing. She's so strong, and she's, you know, I think a really good role model for her kids now. Her kids are, you know, being active and getting in shape, and it's a lot of fun, and it's a great way to meet friends. Mm-hmm. Like, my husband and I have been in San Antonio for 2 years, and all of our friends have been, you know, my nurses, and they've been great. Mm-hmm. But we really didn't have a network of friends outside of the hospital or outside of physical therapy, and now we're meeting these really awesome people that have the same interests as us, because they want to stay active, they want to stay healthy, they want to stay strong and fit, and, you know, they work hard and they also play hard. Mm-hmm. So and I've met some really incredible people through it. Mm-hmm. And it's a great world. It's fun.
It's the community, it's the family, it totally is. And I think thankfully, CrossFit is moving from this idea of it's just this really tough workout where you puke, and, you know, we talked about that, where that you might get that feeling, but it used to be seen, I think it's moving towards something where everyone can do it, where it used to be seen as, like, you have to be in shape to do CrossFit. Yeah. And I think that's slowly starting to change, where people know that they can just go in and do that free trial class. Mm-hmm.
And I love that it encompasses, like, range of motion and things that you do day to day. It's not, you know, it's really helped me in my day to day life. just with strengthening my core, because I do have a lot of, you know, challenges with being an amputee, but I feel like I get around easier now. And it's not just because I'm stronger, but just like, well, for example, I had really bad aggravated sacroiliac joint pain in my lower back just because of the way I sit, the way my gait is. And it was to the point where my surgeon and I talked about fusing the joint, which is pretty extreme, but it was to the point where I would lay down at night and I couldn't sit up because the pain was just that bad. And I was on anti-arthritis medication and just was, it was this part of my life that was really just holding me back. And I actually thought going in a CrossFit that it was going to make it worse. And I kind of questioned that. I was like, maybe I shouldn't do this because I got this back issue. Talked to my doctor about it. He also CrossFits, and he thought it, you know, would be good to strengthen my core, just to not overdo it and, you know, be safe about it.
Yeah.
Make sure the coaches are aware, you know, all that stuff. And, you know, within a couple of weeks, the pain was gone.
Yeah.
And I haven't had it since.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really incredible. Like, it, and it, I really think it's just because my core strength has, you know, tightened and I'm stronger there. And it's not something I noticed strength-wise, but that pain is just gone.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because, you know, the workouts that we do are focused towards, you know, those movements, you know, day to day, you know, you know, sometimes you squat down and you pick stuff up, or, you know, you push, or, you know, you probably explain it better than I can. So that's incredible too. It was unexpected, but I'm very thankful for
that's
it.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Gosh, that's so cool. Anything else that really aided, and I think you said this just from what I've read on your Facebook page too, like recovery is an ongoing process. What else do you feel like really aided in recovery?
Part of it was just the people I was around, especially at the Center for the Intrepid, which is the outpatient physical therapy clinic that Brooke Army Medical Center has. I saw probably a couple hundred guys come through, very young, that had been injured in Afghanistan and Iraq. And there was never any self-pity there. It was always people pushing themselves hard and meeting and excelling goals. And so I really never had a moment where I felt sorry for myself, because I was around all these super motivating people that weren't sorry for themselves. And I mean, we all had our bad days, of course. It wasn't all, you know, happiness, and, you know, no one's happy to be in this situation, but they were driven, and I saw them, you know, in the year that I was there, progress and do well and get out of there and live fulfilling lives. And I see that in the gym too, especially with the new guys that come in. I've got a couple buddies that they saw my pictures on Facebook and they're like, all right, we can't let Sarah beat us. Like, we got to get in there too. And so they're there too.
Yeah.
And they're pushing it, and they're excelling and they're getting stronger and in shape.
Yeah.
And so that really helps me. Which, where I think if I was by myself in all this, it would be a lot harder. If I'm very kind of lucky in a way to, you know, be around all these guys. Because if I was on my own, I don't know, I don't think I would have been as motivated. I think there, it would have been way easier to just stay in home.
Sorry, you seem like you have a very strong spirit for sure. But yeah, absolutely, to have that around you. And do you kind of try to get people in, like, hey, come try this out?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah.
We were in D.C. recently for a sitting volleyball tournament between the different branches. And I dragged one of the guys to a box there. We dropped in one of the guys at a CrossFit with Through Transition Possible back home. And then another guy says, hey, Gideon, you know, you want to come CrossFit? And he's a really in shape guy.
Yeah.
And so I thought he'd be fine. And I remember looking over him at one point. We were doing like overhead lunges, and the look on his face, I was just like, oh man, he's gonna come over here and steal my crutches and like kick me. He hates me right now. But I mean, he really enjoyed it. And he was even talking to the coach afterwards about different locations and about you know, the different workouts that they do. And I think he enjoyed it. And we're doing another trip to Hawaii soon. I even asked him the other day, I was like, you want to go drop into a box?
Let's go.
I think he liked it. I think he was a little shocked that it was so challenging, because it was just, it's different. It's a different workout.
It totally is. So like, if you're in really super shape, you could just be like going in going, oh my gosh.
Well, we left and he told me, he's like, that's all the stuff I always avoid. I always avoid those movements.
Yeah.
And I avoid doing them all together.
Yeah.
So I think it was challenging and pushed him to try something different.
Yeah.
So And yeah, I'm back home. I try to get the guys in there, just try it out.
Yeah.
And it's not very, it's not hard
yeah.
to get them to try go. It. Because I see, like, the guys and I that are in there, you know, accomplishing things. Like,
yeah.
We got one guy who is missing one arm and most of the other hand, and he's able to do pull-ups with an assisted device, and he does push-ups,
mm-hmm.
and he does everything. So, mm-hmm. I mean, no one really...
Yeah.
There's no excuses when it comes to... No one can be like, oh, no, I'm too hurt or too broken, because we've got, like, this group of very broken people in there killing it, so... Yeah.
You're like, no, don't be saying that to me. Nope. No. All right, so we're almost out of time. Is there anything else you want to cover CrossFit related? Do you follow any specific diet that's also very popular in the CrossFit world?
There was no plan to do any diet, but our gym had a throwdown. It was this 2-month challenge where we were on teams, and my husband convinced me that we should try it.
Yeah.
And we're very competitive, and there was like a cash prize.
Oh, and nice. And you're not competitive at all, I do.
No, and we were on separate teams. So, yeah. But part of it was paleo.
Yeah.
We had to do a strict paleo, no sugar diet. And so we're like, all right, fine, we'll do this paleo thing. Like, we had no intentions. We were skeptics, big time.
Yeah.
But we tried it, and we saw huge results.
Yeah.
I mean, really, really big results between both of us.
Like, and what kind of results?
Just on the scale. And just, like, because, you know, the basketball woman, he hasn't really had a chance to work out either, you mm-hmm. know. And so he's kind of, we've both fallen into some really bad routines of, you know, we come home from work, we go get fast food, and we turn on the TV. And that was our routine for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got out of the couch routine because we started going to CrossFit. But then we were still eating not so great. And so we tried it, and... You know, we felt better. The first couple of weeks, we were really, really rough. I mean, we definitely went through a withdrawal period.
Yeah, I bet.
And, like, especially
if you're going, like, most, I think a lot of people, I guess that try paleo, don't make that huge jump
mm-hmm.
right away. But that's a huge jump for you to just go from, like, fast food, and then go strict paleo.
Yeah.
And doing a challenge. That your system was probably like, what is this?
Yeah. We went and did some training hikes in Arizona that second week, and we definitely felt just the energy. Like, just dip.
Yeah.
I remember thinking, I just want some carbs.
Yeah.
But,
I need a donut.
But then, like, probably, like, the third week, we started feeling really good. And the food is great. I mean, it wasn't, like, any diet we had ever tried where we were starving and where the food was really bland. We were able to eat things that we really, really enjoyed.
Yeah.
So that made it easier.
Yeah.
Cooking a lot more at home. Yeah. So that was nice.
Yeah.
And we felt good. And then, you know, the challenge ended, and we kind of felt right off the bandwagon, and especially with Thanksgiving. I mean, we totally splurged. But we have goals to go back to not completely strict. I mean, we definitely want to keep our sanity and have some cheats in there.
Yeah.
But I think we definitely want to still follow that lifestyle because we really liked how we felt and how we looked on it. And so I think that's the plan, is to continue to do, like, an 80-20 or as strict as possible, maybe.
Right.
And he likes his beer, so.
Yeah. Yes. Very important. He's patiently waiting outside while we record this. All right, Sarah. Well, thank you so much for stopping by and recording this. And the listeners are just going to be thrilled to hear your story. And you are such an inspiration. And if you ever drop by, you can come back and do a full episode with Claire. I know she would love to meet you. So check out transitionpossible.org. And any other plugs that you want for the podcast?
Also check out KilimanjaroWarriors.org. We've got both.
Okay.
KilimanjaroWarriors.org is probably better. We're hiking Kilimanjaro in February. One of the other guys that I crossed it with. And then there's 6 Wounded Warriors. We're all amputees. One's bilateral. And we're going to try that out. So check us out.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing. When is that?
It's in February. Oh. The bilateral guy, he is from Arizona. He CrossFits as well. So
wow.
It was
fun. I can't wait to... I'll keep up with you on Facebook on that. That sounds amazing.
When we did our hikes in Arizona, we did a little bit of, like, random CrossFit movements
here. Yeah.
It was fun.
Yeah. Well, keep it up, girl. You're awesome. All right. Thanks, Sarah.